Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Chronicles. Chapter 24, 2 Chronicles in chapter 24. I want to preach on King Amaziah this morning. He is a perfect picture of the 21st century Christian that is vogue and cool and cultured. The 21st century Christian that desires position and praise and power, but no holiness. Wants the best that God has, but doesn't really want to surrender to God. Stand with me if you would, 2 Corinthians or Chronicles in chapter 25. I want you this morning to dream. I want you this morning not to fantasize, but to come to some realization of what God could possibly do in your life and in your family if you would sell out to God. Mediocrity, there is nothing more common than talented men and women drowning in mediocrity. It's all over America. It's all over the world. And it is all over the church. God is looking for someone who's just sincere and says, I'm your guy. I'm your woman. Lord, I surrender. God, whatever you have, I won't violate any Bible. I'll do the best I know how to do. And as I study through and journey through the Word of God and journey through life, I'm surrendered to you. I'll adapt. I'll make my life fit the Word of God. I won't do it the other way around. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, and Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jehoiadin of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. God, would you bless this morning as we study the Word of God? I desire nothing more than to be your spokesperson. Lord, I want to be an old-time Bible preacher. I want to just fill up everybody's plate with the Word of God, and may your Holy Spirit take Scripture and Bible principles and drive it home. Lord, help me to get out of the way. Lord, would you help us not to be half-hearted, but to be wholehearted. God, would you raise up a good number of people at Fundamental Baptist Church that will truly follow you, like D.L. Moody did, and will just give whatever they have to you, and God, would you take over? Lord, I pray that the oldest person here would recognize it's not too late. There are souls to be won. There are people to edify and to build up. Lord, for that youngest and everybody that's in between, that may be thinking, well, they got no talent, but really they do if they'd surrender. You'd provide everything that's needed. Lord, would you help us to just come to understand what you want to do in our lives and in the lifeblood of this, your church. We pray in Christ's name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. I said this in Sunday school, just alluded to it. Just think if this happened. Now, it's a pretty good crowd this morning, even with a lot of people gone for spring break. But just think what if this happened. Let's just say 10% of the people that are watching live stream right now that are local, if they started coming to church physically. Say that happens this spring. Say that happens this summer. Man, we don't have any room. We have very little room as it is on a normal Sunday morning. Man, there's so much that God wants to do in your life if you'll just not shortchange God. You say, what do you mean by shortchange God? Don't do like Amaziah did. Don't be half-hearted. Don't cut corners. Don't violate Bible. Don't violate Scripture. Be that New Testament Christian that is anchored in the Word of God, and forget your own reasoning power, and then, because Amaziah forgot. Amaziah got full of himself. Amaziah did not have a perfect or complete heart. He was that half-hearted Christian that wanted the praise and wanted the power, wanted the position, but didn't want holiness. And therefore, God said, man, Amaziah, I'm done with you. Let me give you a little bit of background here, and I hope you have some understanding. Joash, that was Amaziah's father, was assassinated through a conspiracy of some of his own people in chapter 24. Then we come to chapter 25, and Amaziah is made king of the southern kingdom. That's Judah and Benjamin. That's the divided kingdom of Israel. It was divided. There was the northern 10 tribes, and there was the southern 2 tribes. And Amaziah was made king when he was 25 years of age. He entered into the throne. He reigned for 29 years. He died when he was 54. As a matter of fact, he was assassinated just like his dad was because he didn't honor God. He defeated the desert raiders known as the Edomites, present-day Jordan. He became overconfident and challenged the northern kingdom. And the northern kingdom king, he kind of told them like it was, and I'm going to preach it a little bit here this morning. Here's what I'm going to do if you'll stay with me. I'm going to preach through a good portion of chapter 25. And then I'm going to go back and just apply about three things, maybe four if I have time. I'll hit on these things while I'm preaching through the text. So I don't want to just read the text. I want you to follow along with me. Get your pen out, underline things, mark things up, write down good notes. God is going to give you some things. He's going to feed your heart while we're reading through the scripture this morning. I promise you that. Amaziah, 25 years old. He began to reign. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name, verse 2 says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Not with a whole heart. He was half-hearted. Part-time Christianity will never have the power of God. If you act one way in church and among the brethren and another way in the world, man, it won't be long and it'll be Ichabod. By the way, you'll lose your kids because they see the hypocrisy. They see the hypocrisy from top to bottom. They sometimes recognize it before we do. And mediocrity is the curse of the day. Let's never get fancy at Fundamental Baptist Church. Let's never get to the place where we got enough money, we don't need to pray so much anymore. Let's never get to the place where we got enough Bible verses memorized, I don't need to really listen to the preacher, I know everything he's going to say. Let's not ever get there. Let's be that sponge that soaks up the Word of God. All right, look what it says here in verse 3. Now it came to pass when the kingdom was established to him that he slew his servants that had killed the king, his father. That was the right thing to do. I think that was the right thing to do. He found the conspirators and he had them executed. Verse 4 says, and he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not die for the children, neither the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. So he didn't punish the children of the assassins. Verse 5. Kind of a pious kind of religianity there. It's an outward kind of thing. He's appeasing all the people of the kingdom. Verse 5, he said, look how spiritual I am. Verse 5 says, moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers, throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above and found them 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war that could handle spear and shield. So he numbered the tribes, the men that were among, that were 20 years of age and older among Judah and Benjamin, and he had an army, he amassed an army of 300,000 men, skilled warriors. Man, it's good. I feel powerful. He says, man, I feel like I could get something done. And he's going to win a skirmish here, and it really it does end up to be a skirmish, and he thinks he's bigger than life. Be careful. We never get too big for our own britches. Don't start driving a nice car and think you've arrived. Man, don't start looking at the church facilities and how God is blessed and think, well, we've done our part. Don't do that, man. If you say, well, I'm going to let somebody else do it now. I'm going to retire. I'm going to do it. Well, yeah, God might just retire you and you'll go home. That could be exactly how. Yeah, I mean, if you're done here on this earth, he might just well take you home right now. So no matter what the age is, you sell out to God. You have that. Perfect means complete. You have that whole heart. Amaziah was falling short on that. Verse 5 says, and moreover, Amaziah gathered together Judah. Verse 6 says, he hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. So he has this army of 300,000 men. He's going to go to war. He's going to kind of enlarge the kingdom. So he hires he hires 100,000 mercenaries from the northern tribe, from Israel. He hires them. They are mercenaries. They are there for the silver. They are there for the money. So that gives him a total of 400,000 men. Man, he's feeling pretty strong here. Verse 7, and there came a man of God to him. Thank God for men of God, for Bible preachers, for prophets of old. He said, there came a man of God to him saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee. For the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. He said, you don't want those guys from the north. They are not sold out to God. They will do you harm before it's all done. You want just your own men. Verse 8 says, but if thou wilt go down, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. You go ahead. You don't think God is enough. You look for power from outside sources. You go ahead and do your own thing. That's okay. God raises up and God casts down. And you'll find out that it's God that is on the throne. Better to do things God's way. Even though your mind is telling you, well, if I just compromise over here, we'll get more. It's better to thank God for the man of God. Let's read on. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? Okay, here's that half-hearted Christian. Here's the man of the world. He might be born again, but he's a man of the world. You know what he's thinking about? The money. Amen. God gave him a command, but he's thinking about the money. I'm just trying to be a good steward. No, you're thinking about the money. All right? Remember Judas? What about the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee. This is a good title for a message. Much more than this. God will meet your need. You don't have to be a bean counter. You don't have to be an accountant. You don't have to keep score. Not with God. Just follow him. It's a good thing. I'm not good with math. I'm not. Man, you know, we're talking about, you know, counting the tracts that are handed out. We do that on Sunday night, a little bit of accountability. And I make fun of Pastor Bill and Steve and those that kind of lose track along the way. You know what? I'm terrible. I'm terrible. I'm glad I don't have to keep the books. Not with God. He keeps the books. Man, I love that. So he says, listen, God will give thee much more than this. And Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 31 and verse 19. Psalm 31 and verse 19. I love this verse. Psalm 31 and verse 19. God has great things planned for you if you will not violate Scripture. God has blessings bountiful planned for you and your household if you'll seek first the kingdom of God. And not just lightly, follow the word of God. All right. Psalm 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Those of you that will follow me and trust me in the eyes of the world, as they're looking at you, if you'll be bold and you'll stand for Christ and you won't compromise and you won't knuckle under for finances and you won't knuckle under for popularity, if you just do the right thing, you'll be the Abraham of the culture in which we live and not the Lot. If you will do that, I will bless you just like he blessed Abraham. That's a promise of God. You cannot begin to understand what God has for you. I told you I wanted you to dream a little bit this morning. Forget about your talents and forget about your abilities. Just become a vessel. God, what do you want me to do? God, who do you want me to talk to? Lord, I won't violate Scripture, but I'm your vessel. I won't become dirty. I'll do the right thing. And God, that's the Abrahams of this world that God is going to bless. You know, Lot, you know, he as well as Abraham, but he just chose wrong. And he maybe did the right thing with not a perfect heart. And he ended up going real sour. And of course, so did his children as well. Surrender to God. I cannot begin to understand God's love, God's provisions, God's blessings. I have not seen nor ear heard. That applies to this life too. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Man, that's great. Life is an adventure. Life is an opportunity. I don't know what Monday holds, but I can serve God. And I can put myself in, I won't violate Scripture, and I'll put myself where God's going to bless, and then let the chips fall where they will. That's pretty cool. That's what that is. Go back down to the 2 Chronicles in chapter 25 and verse 10. And Amaziah separated them, to wit, talking about the 100,000 from Israel, from the 300,000 from Judah and Benjamin. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. He said, send them home. Problem is, they were mad. And on their way home, they pillaged and plundered the cities. As a matter of fact, they killed 3,000 women and children on their way home north. It says, wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the Valley of Salt and smote of the children of Seir 10,000. These are Edomites. These are desert raiders. All right, so here's Amaziah, king of Judah, And he says, we're going to take care of this problem right now. And he wipes them out. And he kills 10,000 and captures 10,000. Let's read on. Other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive and brought them unto the top of the rock and cast them down from the top of the rock that they were all broken in pieces. You say, man, that's brutal. That's warfare. And they destroyed them. But the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back that they should not go with him to battle, fell upon the cities of Judah from Samaria unto Bethhoron and smote 3,000 of them and took much spoil. Now this don't make sense, but I see myself in it. Verse 14, now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites that he brought, get this, this is the king of the southern kingdom. They worship the true, the one, true and living God. The Lord God Jehovah. Like we talked about even in the Gospel of John, when Jesus was asked who he was, he said, I am. I am that I am. I am the only God, the all-sufficient one, all right? Self-sufficient one. He said, it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods and bowed down himself before them and burnt incense unto them. This is supposed to be a child of God. He wipes out a wicked and pagan army. He captures their gods, their idols, and he brings them back and he sets them up and lights incense and bows down to them. That makes no sense. But you know, are we any different today in the 21st century as New Testament Christians who are blood-bought and born again and we bow down to all the idols of the world? Whatever and wherever, as long as it feels good, as long as it looks good, I'm going to be vogue, I'm going to be cultured, I'm going to fit in, I'm not going to stick out like that sore thumb. Man, I just want to be part of them. And you know, maybe I'll win some souls along the way. That's what Lot thought. Abraham had to rescue him. Let's read on. So he sets these little gods up, these little idols, the little children. Remember what John said, beware of idols, keep yourself from idols. Verse 15, wherefore, God just kind of turned his head and winked at the wickedness. Wherefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah. And he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? That is just dumber than a bag of hammers. That's as stupid. Their false gods could not deliver them from the hand of the living God. And now Amaziah, who's on the winning side, reaches down and scoops up the idolatry of the day and makes it part of their culture, part of their world. And God's anger is kindled against them. And it came to pass, as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, art thou made of the king's counsel? In other words, here's the man of God says, Amaziah, O King Amaziah, what are you doing? God is angry with you. This is not good. And the king, who's so full of himself, says, who do you think you are? I'm the king of Judah. Who made you my counselor? But Amaziah, he listens to all the wrong counselors. Let's read on. Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. Then Amaziah, king of Judah, took advice, not of the prophet, of his peers, and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us see one another in the face. Here's what's going on. Let me read. I'm not reading between the lines. This is exactly what's going on. He's feeling his oats in the southern kingdom. So he challenges the king to the north, the king of Israel. All right? It's a divided kingdom, northern kingdom, southern kingdom. He said, I just whipped up on the Edomites. I think I can handle you now too. Let's read on. And face to face, that means in battle. That means just not mano y mano, you know, one king against another. That's one army against the other army, all right? And in this day, and the Old Testament kings, they used to go into battle with their armies, the kings of Israel. One time David didn't, he got in trouble. but they led in the battle. He said, come, let us meet face to face. Verse 17. Verse 18 says, and Joash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, it's a little proverb. The thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give thy daughter to my son to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trode down the thistle. Thou sayest, lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites, and thine heart lifted thee up to boast. Abide now at home. Why shouldst thou meddle to thine hurt, that thou shouldst fall, even thou and Judah with thee? He says, listen, there's no such thing as being invincible. And the king of Israel says to the king of Judah, buzz off, little man, or you'll get your nose bloodied. Verse 20 says, and Amaziah would not hear, stubborn. Pride's a terrible thing. And it came to pass, for it came of God that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. So God's going to chastise them. God's going to punish them. They desire to be like the world. Okay, now they're like the world. Even after this victory, now they're like the world. Now they got the gods of the world. So Joash, the king of Israel, went up, and they saw one another in the face, both he and Amaziah, king of Judah, at Beth Shemesh, which belongeth to Judah. So I don't know exactly how it happened, but this is what the Bible is telling us. So both armies are staged. They're in proper position. And of course, just before the battle starts, or maybe even after the battle starts, this king, King Amaziah, catches the eye of King Joash, king of the north, and they see one another. And it might be from a great distance. They might be in a chariot, and they recognize one another. Now the battle is hot and heated, and the southern kingdom is totally thrashed. They're out of the will of God. The northern kingdom is not right with God. Sometimes God uses backsliders to get a hold of people that are supposed to be serving God. I mean, punish them. And the wrath of God falls upon the armies. It says, and Joash, king of Israel, took Amaziah of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoaz, at Beth Shemesh, and brought him to Jerusalem, and break down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. So they made a breach in the wall about 2 football fields wide. And he took all the gold and all the silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of God with Obed-Edom, and the treasures of the king's house, and hostages also, and returned to Samaria. And Amaziah, the king of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Joash, the son of Jehoash, king of Israel, 15 years. And the rest of the acts of Amaziah, and then it goes on and talks about him being assassinated. Okay, here's the deal. If I can just draw a couple of conclusions here, and I've given you some Bible principles as I preach through this. There was no outline. I just kind of gave you the text. There's things that we need to learn. Number one, I don't want to be a half-hearted Christian. I want to be wholehearted. I want to be all in. I'm not interested in looking like the world and talking like the world or even smelling like the world. I know that we are a peculiar people, the scripture says. We are purchased by the blood of Christ, that we are not our own, that we belong to God. And I want my life to be blessed of God. That's kind of selfish, but I love God too. And I don't want to violate any Bible. I want to live like a New Testament Christian in the 21st century, not like Amaziah that doesn't have a whole heart, because there's real dire results to not having a whole heart. Don't be overconfident. Had an army of 300,000 men. He thought he was something. He whipped up on the desert raiders, the Edomites. He thought that made him a man. And he challenged the northern kingdom. He was warned by the king and by the man of God. And he was thoroughly thrashed. As a matter of fact, you read the text and the complementary texts, he was humiliated. He was brought down low. Don't depend on the wrong people. There's all kinds of counselors. There's all kinds of advice out there. The king, Amaziah, did not heed the prophet of God, the word of God. He heeded his peers. You'll always have yes men. Go to Nehemiah in chapter 6, real fast. We're done in this text. Nehemiah in chapter 6. Yes, this is the passage. Now it came to pass, verse 1, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort. The devil never gives up. And I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand wherein was written, it's reported among the heathen. They spread some lies about Nehemiah. The devil's always trying to get us to get away from the work of God. The devil's always trying to get us to compromise. There'll always be those that will give poor advice. It will be advice of the world. The devil's always willing to give a little in order to get a lot, in order to derail the work of God. And I would tell you, those of us that are familiar with what the Word of God says and what the responsibility we have to honor and never violate Bible, Holy Scripture, those of us that know that, man, we have a great responsibility, because this gets diluted over here, and this gets diluted over there, and that gets diluted. Pretty soon it comes back in this direction. This is diluted here, and this is, and pretty soon this is just another church, and people don't get saved, and it's not a lighthouse, and we become, I was going to use the word civilized. That's not exactly what I want to say. We become cultured. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You know why other churches are dying? They've already compromised. You know why things aren't going on there? They've already given up Scripture. They've already violated. No altar calls. Man, I mean, it's just one thing leads to another. That dilution, that's a dangerous thing. Don't depend on the wrong people. They will let you down. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he will never, ever let you down. What you have is enough if you have God. Go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 16. We already know, we're familiar with what David said in this psalm as an aged man. I once was young and now I'm old and never seen the righteous begging bread. Never seen them forsaken. It doesn't work that way. Not in the family of God. It doesn't work that way. Don't think you got to have possessions to be used of God. It says in verse 16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. So if you have God, God is enough. And then lastly, do it God's way. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles. I think you need to see this. Chapter 25, verse 9. Amaziah said to the man of God, "Boy, what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel?" And the man of God answered, "The Lord is able to give thee much more than this." If you have God, you have enough. The songwriter said, little is much when God is in it. Amen. That's all God needs is that vessel. That's all he needs. And if you'll be smart enough, and here's the danger. I've tried to preach this several ways this morning. I'm done. And I don't know if it's come through strong enough. If I'm a vessel of God, and I'm being used of God, and I start to listen to the sirens of the world, and the bad counselors from the world, and even my own heart, my own flesh, And I violate Scripture and Bible principle in order to get more here, I'm chopping myself off at the knees. And I'm going to bring about destruction. There's one way to do things. It's God's way. The plains may look green and they may look real inviting. They did the lot. But Sodom was down there. Gomorrah was down there. Far better to be the Abraham. And then you can rescue the people down in Sodom and the people down in Gomorrah. So do things, don't listen to the wrong counselors, and do things God's way. Man, I was all over the planet in this sermon this morning. I'd like to kind of bring things to a point. I don't know how God spoke to your heart this morning, but I know he did. Don't kick him to the side.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good news from the Good Book.